stock market's doing really well. There's a lot of things happening here.
I'm seeing a very expensive piece of legislation.
Why isn't the Fed cutting rates?
I think investors should get their popcorn ready.
Good day. Today is Wednesday, August 13th, 2025, and this is The Bash. Welcome to The Bash, where we bring the analyst and planner to the table to discuss relevant financial and investment topics. We're going to have 60 seconds to discuss each topic. Scott, my man, the analyst, before we get started, we're coming to the end of summer. Anything awesome, crazy, incredible you've experienced with your family over the last few months?
It's been a great summer. Kids have fun in camp. Having fun with my wife, a little bit of time on the beach. But look, end of the summer, and for us sports fans, that means the football is right around the corner, right?
Welcomes you to the following presentation of the National Football League.
Oh, cannot wait. Kids are away from me. Rachel and I, we saw the movie Superman, so I guess that's the highlight for me. But we're going to now jump ahead, Scott, and we're going to go right into, of course, the stock market. And Scott, it's been a wild ride coming off a very bumpy April, and now we're hitting multiple record highs. So going forward, are you a bull or a bear?
Wow. Going forward, am I a bull or a bear? I don't even get to choose if I'm neutral. How about that?
Bro, come on!
But up to this point, 2025 has been like the blockbuster sequel of the year. You have so much action. You have some plot twists. But at the end of the day, you have the same heroes, AI and big tech. We've had great earnings. We also have this bullish sentiment that we have rate cuts coming. And because of that bullish sentiment, it has allowed investors to be a little bit insensitive to tariffs and lingering inflation. But I think investors should get their popcorn ready. I think the rest of this year is going to continue with some volatility to the upside, also maybe to the downside. So I think investors should be ready and maybe be a little bit prudent going into the rest of the year. What do you see, Matt?
Scott, as we always talk about, I am a perma bull. So I am optimistic about the stock market being higher in the future.
Oh, good for you.
We always say that, but this question's about probably the near term. And I'm going to say more bullish because of momentum. And I want to turn to a chart right now. I'm going to show you that historically, all-time highs tend to cluster. So when you look at this chart, on average since 1990, the stock market hits 21 all-time highs in the year. And right now in 2025, as of yesterday's close, we had 16 highs. We may have another one even today. So we're getting close to that average, but momentum is what really, you can see the market comes together and it clusters, and it's not a surprise we're hitting multiple all-time highs. I also want to point out the stock market is probably factoring in a potential Fed rate cut. So you've got a lot of things coming together, and that momentum and potential rate cut makes me think short-term bullish as well.
Matt, it's got to be great long-term to be a permanent bull. And I agree with that because long-term, the market does go higher. It's a lot easier to be an optimist than a pessimist.
It's not easy doing what I do, is it?
But I want to actually switch gears, talk a little bit more about the Fed. I want to talk about the expectations for rate cuts. We're here in August. We have Fed meetings coming up. What do you see happening between now and the end of the year?
Scott, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that we're going to get one cut for the rest of the year.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
And it's a gut feeling, and I think it's going to probably happen in September, and I'm going to give you some reasons why. Right now, there's definitely back and forth, starting with the president and thinking about pressure. I mean, he's calling the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell multiple names.
So we have a stupid person, frankly, at the Fed.
He's posting about him. He has threatened to fire him. I think even potentially a lawsuit. So there is a lot of pressure.
Pressure!
Why isn't the Fed cutting rates? On top of that, the meeting last month, there were also two governors, when you look at the notes, that voted to cut rates. So that pressure is all coming towards the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell. But at the same time, he is always positioning himself for a wait-and-see approach. He's looking for more data. He's trying to hold steady here. But I think that combination of the pressure, but also the stock market's doing really well. There's a lot of things happening here. That pressure is going to push for at least one rate cut. I'm saying just one, but I think there'll be more pressure towards the end of the year with the tariffs affecting inflation. Scott, what are your thoughts?
Matt, Federal Chairman Powell has navigated our markets through some of the most tumultuous times.
Tumultuous.
In these last few years. I actually think he's done a great job.
Let's all start clapping.
And I think that for many of those periods of times, he was wrong. And for anybody that is making guesses on the future expectations, we all are smart and we all just look silly. So what I'm going to say is the market is expecting 2 to 3 cuts between now and the end of the year. The market often gets things right. People often get things wrong. I believe there's going to be 2 to 3 cuts between now and the end of the year. And I think that the cover that the Fed is going to have for those cuts is a weakening economy, specifically in jobs. We've seen it month over month now for the last few, and the Fed is starting to have a little bit of ammunition back in their toolbox to be able to reduce rates. Whether it's 2, maybe the job numbers won't get as weak quickly as we think. If it's 3, maybe the data did get weaker. But right now, the market is pricing in 2 to 3 cuts between now and the end of the year. Your guess is as good as mine, and our own Federal Open Market Committee has been consistently wrong or late or whatever you want to call it. It's their ability to react when they realize that and then try and catch up.
Scott, great points. We hear maybe 2 to 3. I'm saying 1. Let's see what happens by the end of the year. But Scott, right now I want to shift gears here and I want to talk about retirement planning. These days it requires dynamic, inflation-aware strategies. How can clients prepare and or navigate retirement with inflation still sticky, as we're talking about, and healthcare costs rising?
Matt, this is where financial planning is an art. It's not a science. We have a blank canvas in front of us, and when we work with our clients and we're putting together dynamic retirement strategies, we are trying to efficiently battle what inflation is going to take away, which is purchasing power. How do we battle that? Well, number one, we want our clients to be saving consistently over time. We say just keep buying, just keep saving as well. Maximize those retirement plans that you have at work. In 2025, you're allowed to put in $23,000 into a 401k. You have a $7,500 catch-up provision if you're over 50. If you're saving into an IRA, you're allowed to put in $7,500 with a $1,000 catch-up provision as well if you're over 50. The way you combat inflation is through your portfolio diversification by having dividend-paying equities, real estate, and higher-income-paying assets, and keeping up with your savings. That's how you battle it over time. You don't battle it in 1 year. When it comes to addressing healthcare costs, there are a lot of opportunities for savers out there to put away money pre-tax for current or long-term healthcare expenses, whether it's dealing with long-term care or specific healthcare expenses by utilizing a health savings account and putting away the maximum amount in there and allowing your employer to put money in for you, you could be able to pay these expenses in the future with pre-tax dollars.
Scott, awesome points. I love the word that you used was art. And I'm going to factor on one area, which is market fluctuation. And that involves planning, especially your cash flow. So imagine if you're starting to draw down your assets during retirement and the market is getting hurt, crushed, there's a recession, that is a double whammy. So that art of what I like to use, more of a bucket approach. You start with the first bucket, your short-term living expenses, about 0 to 1 years, we're going to be positioning those assets to be very conservative, earning yield outside the market, potentially savings or treasury type strategies. Then we look for that midterm where it's about 2 to 5 years, that bucket where we have more of a moderate strategy with our clients to help ladder that risk. But also, what if a one-time situation happens? They're not getting hurt badly if there's a major change in the market. And then when we layer out to the third bucket, we're looking 5+ years out, more of a growth potential, growth strategy, aggressive.
I also like to live dangerously.
trying to not only outperform inflation, but we also want to able to handle volatility. So really market fluctuation, taking that risk and working with the client to diversify and strategize and put their assets in different buckets to meet their financial needs.
Okay, Matt, bucket strategy allows our clients to visualize exactly where their assets are and what their purpose is for long term. I love it. Let's talk about maybe a different topic that could be a little bit fun. I love the name of it, the Big Beautiful Bill. A lot of people may not. But back on July 4th, I was out there trying to find fireworks with my family, and government was passing the Big Beautiful Bill, the Tax Reconciliation Act. There's a lot of different parts of it. I only really care about what are the pros and cons that affect our clients. So what do you see?
All right, Scott, yes, Big Beautiful Bill, a lot going on. So I'm just going to focus on some of the tax benefits for investors. So right now, what do we do here in this bill? We permanently lower tax rates and increase the standard deduction. This provides ongoing tax relief. They've enhanced the child tax credit, raising the benefits to $2,200 a child. So now there's also new deductions and deduction changes that help specific groups. Let's think tips and overtime income deducted. That's up to $25,000 when you look at cars, auto loan interest deduction for the U.S. for assembled cars from 2025 to 2028. There's some temporary tax perks for seniors. And also beginning in 2025, that SALT cap. It's raised from $10,000 to $40,000 and is obviously phased out depending on your income. And then I like to really throw in here a special new type of account called a Trump account. So there are pros and cons, like you mentioned, Scott. First, you're getting seeded $1,000 by the government if you have a child between 2025 and 2028. It's a great head start. It's growing tax deferred.
I want this money.
But please keep in mind, based on the benefits, you can only have select investment options. On top of that, you will be paying taxes on gains, either capital gains or income tax, depending on when you take the money out and what you use it for.
No, I don't want to do any of that.
So it is not apples to apples, a better benefit in my mind than a Roth IRA. Scott, what do you see?
I agree with you on that. I sure hope our clients to get those $1,000 accounts aren't looking at it like that's going to pay for my kid to go to college. Maybe they haven't looked at tuition bills recently, but that's not going to cover it. I am going to focus more on the pitfalls, because when I look at the Big Beautiful Bill, I'm seeing a very expensive piece of legislation.
That's a buzzkill. And I'm like, what's that mean? And they're like, oh, it just means it's not good. That was a buzzkill.
I'm seeing a piece of legislation that adds about $3.5 trillion to our deficit over the next 10 years. I actually like seeing the part of the interest deduction that you just pointed out on the auto loans. I do believe that's on American-made cars, of course, but those are the little things out there that the everyday middle-class, hardworking American needs. So the parts of healthcare with added HSA savings, the auto loan deduction, the enhanced child care credit, and then obviously making the progressive tax tables permanent from where they're at, it absolutely helps out millions of Americans, especially those of us in the Northeast with that SALT provision that you talked about, raising from 10 to 40. That's a good one. Personally, though, when I look at the pitfalls of this bill, I'm looking at debt to GDP. And I'm seeing a spike in debt to GDP when I go back 20 years, 10 years, where we're at today and where we'll be. I'm seeing a fiscal situation here in this country that slowly can get to a point where it's out of control and it's irreversible.
Scott, great summary. And when I think about today's episode, I think we talked a lot about what? All-time highs, but you raised a lot of potential concerns with future volatility, tariffs, but also what you just pointed out were the debt that we are, that's occurring right now with the government of the United States. Anything else you want to add?
Look, I want everyone to have a safe, fun rest of the summer. We're coming up to back-to-school season. Everyone's going to get back to work hard. So everyone stay safe. Have a great rest of your summer and stay the course.
Scott, great. Let's wrap it up here. As always, we tell our investors, stay focused, stay disciplined, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Bash.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC. All performance referenced is historical and is no guarantee for future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. No strategy assures success or protects against loss. The economic forecasts set forth in this material may not develop as predicted, and there can be no guarantee that strategies promoted will be successful. This information is not intended to be a substitute for specific individualized tax or legal advice. We suggest that you discuss your specific situation with a qualified tax or legal advisor.